listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
We are slightly, if not exclusively, rural again today, as I'm delighted to welcome Sally Barnes to the show, who is a horse and dog whisperer and sometime elephant whisperer too. Can't wait to hear about that. And also one of her clients, Ilona Sekac. And Sally lives just down the road from me. And one of the reasons I wanted to invite Sally on the show was because whenever you see Sally taking her dogs for a walk, they are walking perfectly to heel. You know, when you see that stuff on Crufts where the dogs are absolutely obeying their master or mistress's every move? Well, Sally's dogs do that. And bearing in mind, most people in the village I live in get taken for walks by their dogs a la water skiing styly. This Sally's ability to keep her dogs well under control, and huge Alsatian it is anyway, this has really always impressed me. So I'm delighted that Sally's agreed to come on the show and give us some tips, but has also brought one of her clients as a case study, which is fabulous. So good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Jackie.
And good morning, Ilona.
Good morning.
Now, we kind of had our cheesily relevant segue. So we are going to, I'm going to kind of squeeze in another vaguely relevant cheesy record in a minute. But I feel I have to do a bit of self-promotion. And I'm wondering if you have looked at the This Much I Know Facebook page yet, because I put photos up from last week. Bob Armstrong was looking suitably impressed with being surrounded by belly dancers, wasn't he, last week? He did enjoy the last half of the show particularly. And also, if you have any guests or any friends who you think would make good guests for the show, anything interesting to talk about or anything interesting that they've achieved in their lives, charity events or whatever, then you can put a message on there and I can have a look at it. Because if you send me a message when I'm on air, then I'll get it. If you send me a message when I'm not, then I may not. So we're going to use the Facebook page for communication. And also, just in case you didn't know, I am a belly dancer and we have our Miramar Belly Dance Spectacular at the Civic Hall on March the 28th. And you can get tickets from the box office.
MySCR.co.uk.
This is Jackie King Turner. You're listening to Stratford Community Radio, and I have Sally Barnes, dog whisperer, with me, and Ilona Sekac, who is one of her clients, and, or should I say, one of your dogs is. Ah, but the whole thing is, it's all about training the people, isn't it, Sally?
Absolutely, Jackie.
Now, how did you get involved in horse and dog whispering?
Well, I don't really know, to be perfectly honest. I sort of morphed into it somehow or other. I did do a lot of riding and competing, and had my own horses for a while, looked after other horses, helped people with their horses. And since then, I've really moved more onto the dogs, which I absolutely adore. Absolutely great fun.
Slightly smaller and less mucking out, one imagines.
Oh, yes, very much so. Absolutely right.
So what have you noticed to be the challenges between the difference between training a horse and training a dog?
I think it's quite different, completely different. Much more dealing with the people, with the dogs, much more, which is the bit I really like. I mean, I just meet some fabulous people and we have lots of fun doing it. That's what I really enjoy.
And what about, I'm just thinking, I really take the point that with a dog, there's more of a pack hierarchy, isn't there? Whereas with a, what's it they always say, you can, oh, this is dragging back to my old horsey roots, you can command a gelding, ask a mare and negotiate very politely with a stallion.
Yes, absolutely.
Things. And so you've got a much bigger kind of physical power thing going on there, haven't you?
Yes.
Whereas it strikes me that with dogs, it's a lot more psychological.
Yes, although you have got to be quite tough with some dogs. You know, some really tricky cases do need you to be very much the pack leader, and you've got to find a way of showing them that you are going to take charge. And it's not really about them taking charge of the family and biting everybody and snarling and growling and being revolting.
Well, I think a far bit from me to comment about the village I live in particular, but we do have a lot of dogs that maybe could do with a bit of therapy, and I couldn't possibly comment on the owners at all.
Well, I think it's every village. I mean, I don't just think it's our village. I think it's every village.
Have you got dogs in your street that are a pain?
Not really.
No, this is maybe the difference being an urban... And Sam has a cat, don't you?
Yeah.
And cat whispering. Now, there's something
absolutely.
We did have a cat, actually, who was a complete psychopath. And we did actually get a pet psychologist in to provide some therapy. And she gave loads of really, really good tips. But in the end, the cat gave my husband nasal polyps, so we ended up getting rid of the cat.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I've had first-hand experience at all of this. What do you think it is? Allowing you to blow your own trumpet for a moment, what is it about a person that makes them a very good animal whisperer?
Well, I think lots of practice, like everything. But I think, really, you've got to be able to think a bit like a dog and be a bit intuitive about that. And go for what you think, even though the logical answer isn't necessarily in front of you.
Is that something that you've developed over time, or is it something that people can study and learn, do you think?
I think it's probably both. I think everybody's got intuition there, sitting there, but they don't use it.
And also you need masses of experience.
Absolutely.
You know, what Sally's got is a huge amount of experience, so she's got a great well of ideas that, as a dog owner, you don't always know the instinctive thing to do. If we come across a problem with our dog and we say, oh, look, today she's not doing such and such a thing, she won't handle the ball or she won't sort of jump over the post to go to the gate or something like that, we just say, this is our problem, and Sally will say, yeah, but you're not doing this, and maybe if you facilitate, she'll do that. And it's this experience that she's got that makes it, you know, possible to do her job. And we don't have quite the same intuition, and we certainly don't have that kind of experience. And it's the years of watching animals and understanding them and being able to communicate with them that makes a huge difference.
Well, I guess it's that, you know, if you have a dog, you spend a lot of time with your dog as opposed to spending a lot of time with countless different dogs every single day. We're doing a sales job for you there, Sally.
Thank you very much.
I hope you are basking in the reflected glory.
I'm very lucky.
There was Steve, far be it from me to mention another radio station here, but I was listening to Radio 2 yesterday and Steve Wright had a dog psychic on, which I listened to with some interest. They had some, and this, in fact, the lady was saying exactly the same thing. You know, you've all got intuition. You just need to tap into it.
Oh, good.
So, but then he said, well, how do you get the messages back from, you know, the other side? At which point I think this could be interesting, actually. And it ended up being, well, you know, they don't speak English. And apparently it's all in pictures.
Oh.
I don't know. I have no idea how on earth you tell whether a dog is visually motivated, kinesthetic or whatever. I would have thought it was smell vision, basically. But anyway, and tell us about the elephants. How did you get involved in working with elephants?
Well, I was very lucky to be able to go to Botswana and see, well, and spend some time in the bush with the animals, just observing them day after day and hour after hour. And it really made so much sense to me that the animals... they work with the intuition. They have a hierarchy. They have discipline. They have rules. They have a whole way of living and existing, which is unbelievably organised. And they all know what each other wants, but nobody speaks English, just as you said before. And we have to find a way of communicating with them, because they have it innately how they're going to communicate with each other. And there's no use us saying, why don't you go and lie in your bed? Wouldn't you mind, please, Fido? It doesn't really work that way, and they're just never going to get it that way.
I was particularly interested in some of your notes on your website, if you're listening to this thinking, oh my goodness, my dog is a nightmare, or possibly my horse is a nightmare, but predominantly if my dog's a nightmare and you want to find out more about it, I'm just looking, it is www.sallybarnes.net.
That's right.
There's some stuff on there about you know, the whole hierarchy thing and how you have to be a kind of the pack leader, don't you, of
that's
your
right.
dog.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, that's a tricky thing, because dogs live in a certain way and they've evolved to fit in with our lifestyle, haven't they?
To a degree. I wouldn't say totally and utterly. I mean, there's still the wild animal there. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any problems, would there?
And do you find that you have consistent problems then with people?
Yeah, quite often.
So tell us what they are. So if someone at home is thinking, I'm the only person on this planet with this problem with my dog,
well,
you can reassure them.
A lot of dogs are aggressive to the families they live in. A lot of dogs. And I think that a lot of people are rather too proud possibly to admit it. But this happens a lot.
And how does that aggression manifest itself?
Well, the dogs will growl, they will bite, they will, if the owner tells them to do something, they will say, no, I won't. It's unbelievable how aggressive little dogs, just as bad if not worse, can terrorise the family, granny, daughter, kids, rabbits, guinea pigs in the family, and bite them all.
I mean, they do say that you're more at risk of being bitten by a family pet than you are of a dog just out and, you know, on the walk or whatever.
Oh, absolutely true.
And so how would you approach that particular situation? I mean, obviously you want people to come to you as a client sort of thing, but give us how you know, your scenario, your first meeting with an animal that is very aggressive.
Well, maybe Alona can perhaps come in here with her dog Gemma.
Yeah, the first thing that has to happen is you have to realise that you have a problem with your dog. And certainly one of the things that Sally did was to come and look at the dog and see how we behave with the dog in order to see what's making the problem. And I think Gemma was a special case because we were given Gemma to look after. We promised to help an elderly person by looking after this dog. And it so happened that we already had a collie and a Jack Russell. And although we lived very happily with our Jack Russell, we hadn't realised quite how aggressive she was. And what had happened to provoke us, to make it that we had to get hold of Sally, was that Gemma came into our lives and she killed the Jack Russell, Lucy. And we were on the brink of having Gemma put to sleep. Gemma's a collie, 6 years old. And the vet who was on his way to put Gemma to sleep, because we'd had this terrible trauma, said, before I do this, have you spoken to Sally Barnes? And we pricked up our ears because we are not the kind of people that would willy-nilly have an animal put to sleep, particularly since we'd lost one dog and we were grieving. We didn't want to lose another one if we could do something about it. So Sally was our last chance, really, to save Gemma's life. And she really has. She's turned Gemma round into a much more placid, loving dog. But as well as our Jack Russell being aggressive, Gemma was also very aggressive. And so together, those two dogs fought to the death, really. And it was a terrible experience. So just to go back to your question, the first thing that happens when you've got an aggressive dog in the home is for Sally to come and look at what it is we might be doing wrong. And the whole process is our learning on how to handle her and how to enable the aggressive dog to take instruction from us and to take orders from us about how to give her the possibility of behaving how we want her to behave. It's not so much saying to the dog, behave yourself, sit, do that. We have to facilitate that. So we have to learn from Sally how to facilitate it. And that's what we learn. There are ways. It's not just a question of saying sit in a firm or a gentle or giving her a treat or something like that. There are physical ways. There are techniques how to get a dog to sit. And you have to learn that, and you have to learn it from doing it again and again and again with help. If you have a dog who's never, ever been shown how to do it, you have to make it possible for that dog to sit when you ask it to, and to consistently do that. And it's a fantastic process, because you learn as well. You are actually learning how to handle an animal. And it's a terrific gift that Sally's got, and she is providing it to us. I think I'd be able to help another dog to sit and to do lots of other things, which now Gemma does. And it's such a gift, really, to be given that. And we do appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you for sharing what must have been an awful experience for you. I appreciate it. But one thing does occur to me, that maybe the techniques will be applicable with children.
Absolutely.
My children will be kind of utterly offended by my comment, but I'll better move on. I think I'd better ask you what your first track was and why you love it.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
This is Jackie King Turner. You're listening to Stratford Community Radio, and I have Sally Barnes and Ilona Sekach with me. We're talking dog whispering, and it's a fairly miserable day here, but I'm sure it will be less miserable if you have a miserable dog that needs training and you contact Sally. So if you want to have a personal audience or just find out more information, then you can look at her website, which is sallybarnes.net. And I think I mentioned at the beginning of the show, one of the things about Sally when she's walking her dogs is that they are immaculately behaved, and Sally is most definitely the pack leader. And I figure that when I see the people water skiing with their dogs, I think I know who the pack leader is, and it's not the person, is it? So along with calm, pack leader is the other thing that you need to establish with your pet, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, without that, it's hopeless, really. You will be being pulled along, and your life will... It's not just the walking which will be awful for you. It'll be everything in the house. The dog will be on the sofa. The dog will be taking food and being aggressive if you want to have it back. I do see it all the time. So how to get the owners to take over the role of the pack leader from the dog is the challenge that I have, and it varies in time and effort, and the more time and effort we put into it, the quicker we get there. But we all learn at different rates, and some people who you think are actually never going to quite get it end up to be the best people. You just don't know, but you just have to plod on and teach what you see in front of you. There can't be really a plan particularly to it until you've seen the dog, seen how the family and the dog interact together.
When you're actually going to get a dog, is there anything that you can identify from a litter of puppies that would lead you to believe that a particular dog would be better for you? Again, this is based on a TV program I saw with the man that went to live with wolves or whatever, and they always say that the dog that comes out to see you first is the one that's always going to be trying to establish dominance and things. So is there anything you should look for?
Well, I like a dog that's got a lot of personality and can be really strong. That's I like that. I like to work with that energy. But there are people that would like a less strong dog, and a more timid dog would suit them. So I think that... I don't think you can see an enormous amount from the litter, but the bigger one has obviously got to the food first, is more aggressive. The timid one will be less well-fed and a little bit more shy. So I think perhaps something in the middle is a good idea.
And you mentioned about having to take control, having to take that pack leadership. Again, is it a technique thing, or is it something that you spot when you go and see, gosh, those people are doing something disastrously wrong there? There are a couple of things I can make a difference straight away. Or does it evolve over time?
There'll be hundreds of things I can see that they can make a difference to straight away, if they want to. If they are prepared to make the changes in themselves to change the dog behaviour.
I think one of the most difficult things is knowing how to become a pack leader, because we bring to it as amateurs all sorts of preconceptions. So you sort of, for example, mine was, I don't want to dominate my dog so that I crush her spirit. Well, it's got nothing to do with that, but that was my preconception. My dog has a lot of life, she's got a lot of energy, and she's quite a personality. I don't want to crush that out of her. And I thought that's what might happen if I was told, come on, be the pack leader, otherwise she'll be always dominating you. And that's part of the learning curve, and it took me a long time. Other people feel that by dominating and being loud with a dog or being over strict is the way to do it, and it's not necessarily You just have to learn what it is your dog is going to respond to in you. And that's, I find, that I couldn't have done that without Sally. And it's not just the same for me and my partner. He needs a different approach from mine. And at first I used to say to Sally all the time, she loves him more than she loves me. She does it for him, but she won't do it for me.
And you said to me, will she ever love me like she loves him?
Yeah.
And now, what's it like?
Well, it's just perfect for both of us.
Yeah.
But different. And so we each have a different relationship with the same dog. And I don't think we... I was going to say, do you ever find there's a problem when you've got, say, two owners and one dog? Does one of the owners have to be the pack leader over the other owner and the dog? What happens when you've got that situation?
Yes, it is not easy. I think that if people have really got to try and... Members of the family have really got to try and be on the same page with this, even though they'll learn at different rates, even though they will approach everything in a slightly different way. The dog will get it. The dog gets it far quicker than the people. Mm-hmm. I know it's an awful thing to say, and when we realise this, it's a bit of a bitter blow, isn't it?
Because that strikes me that if you're being competitive with a member of your family about emotion, then that's about you, not about the dog.
It's a learning curve because of that. It's a bit of psychology there.
Yes. I often say that I put on my marriage guidance hat at the same time.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to people who said, well, the dog's totally devoted to him, but doesn't like me at all. Mm. And that you must have to step back and think, is that something about what I'm doing? And how do I feel about that?
Yeah. It's always something about what you're doing.
Yeah. Right.
And why are you feeling competitive in the first place?
Yes.
Why are you competing with your partner for the love of this dog? That's absurd, really.
It is. Yeah. It is. I will compete with a rock given half a chance. But it just... thinking about it in those terms, it does seem like such an enormous waste of energy when you could be using the energy positively to have a dog in your house and in your life that is civilized,
yeah, giving you all pleasure.
And does the dog ever feel, you know, if it moves into this pack leader role, does it ever feel slightly agoraphobic because it's sort of, right, I'm going to take over here, I'm not sure I want to?
The dog,
that's maybe anthropomorphizing it somewhat.
The dog is a natural follower. It is not a leader. It's a pack animal and it's born to follow. And if you don't give the dog the leadership it naturally needs and craves for, it will then take over you. And it doesn't actually want to do that, but it has to make its own decisions about what to do then if you don't do it for it. And that means biting, attacking people at the door, jumping up, putting the paw in the child's eye. Endless, very, very unwanted behaviours.
Well, that's one of the things that occurs to me as well, in that, you know, allergies notwithstanding, I would like to have a nice, well-behaved dog and I don't want a horrible one.
I think
that's quite important, isn't it? But that's down to the owners.
I think you want your dog to be popular and liked because that's better for the dog. But if the dog's a pain in the neck, it will not be popular and liked.
And, oh, goodness, this is where, well, we'll have to talk about it off air, won't we? We have chatted about this at length anyway, about the various canine members of our village that would not fit that category. But I know I've got friends who have a dog that barges through in front of you through doorways, and it's a Weimaraner. It's huge. And you can't be having a dog that's the size of a Shetland pony barging you out of the way to go through a doorway.
It's really common.
Is it?
Oh, it's so common.
MySCR.co.uk.
I can now see what you were saying, Alona, earlier about you can struggle on with this yourself, but you have to have the expertise, just the hours under your belt of having seen these situations.
Yes, and I think what that shows is that the owner of the Staffy wasn't able to see that, oh, it's the stairs that are the problem.
She said she never thought of it.
Yeah.
And what Sally does and what we've seen happening with our dog is like the layers of an onion being stripped away. And we found that the problem with Gemma is utter terror at absolutely everything that happens. So that's why the journey with her has been and still is continuing, and is quite substantial, the amount that we've had to unravel in her behaviour. And at each sort of visit, we've seen some other new possible problem, and it's been another layer we've had to uncover and deal with, and then yet another, and we're getting deeper and deeper, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And eventually we're finding the dog inside all that. Mm-hmm. But it's her little neuroses, her little problems, things that have happened in the past that we've no idea what they might be, but Sally is managing to unravel all this for us and help us with Gemma.
It's massively helped by the fact that dogs live in the present, they live in the now. And it's not really about the past. We've just not got to worry about that. We've just got to deal with right now, right here.
And it's probably the human that will anguish over the things they've got wrong in the past.
The dog doesn't have that baggage.
But they do have the forward thinking angle, which is the interesting, the planning and the thinking about what might happen. Fascinating. I didn't know that.
Survival.
Yes. And speaking of survival, I've had another message in from a listener who's asking about how you become pack leader for an elephant. Basically, I'd say it's my husband. We've been reading a Michael Morpurgo book to my oldest daughter. I don't know if you read his books. Oh, this is
wonderful.
We have hardly got to the end of one without crying, frankly, because they are such tearjerkers. But there's one called Running Wild, which is about a boy who gets rescued from the Asian tsunami because he happened to be on an elephant at the time, and the elephant took him into the jungle. And when you were saying about watching the elephants intuitively interact with each other, it was absolutely bang on like the book. So, how on earth do you become a pack? I know it's a slight tangent. How do you become pack leader for an elephant? Do we know? Did you pick up any tips on that?
Well, I think that if you're surrounded in a jeep by with no top on the jeep, the Land Rover, no top on the Land Rover,
and not the dog whisperer,
and surrounded by a herd of elephants, their babies, and in the black of night, when you're lost because the driver is not really supposed to be driving you anywhere, he's just, I don't know whether he was the cook or whatever, but he was having fun and said, let's go out and we'll just go into the bush, are you up for it? And found he was lost, and suddenly we were amongst these, and he was completely terrified, and my friend was completely terrified, but I just loved every minute of it. It was just the best thing I can possibly tell you about. Felt so wonderful.
Well, you can rise above your own personal fear because you know that emotion won't help the situation, I guess.
Well, I wasn't frightened, but perhaps I should have been. Very stupid. But it was lovely.
Excellent. And we are just about towards the end of the show. Hasn't it gone quickly today?
It's blown by.
And we're going to play, I think we can sneak in the last track, which I think is from your daughter's boyfriend's band, isn't it? So we need to give them a huge plug.
Yep, Daylight Fireworks, Bristol band. And they've done, mixed, produced this CD in various bedrooms. And the website address is daylightfireworks.com.
And just before we go,
and love to Richie.
Oh, absolutely. Love to everyone that knows me, no doubt, as well. Have to get that in. This is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. A huge thank you to Sam for all the technical input, including unravelling the wire from round my leg when it all went very, very quiet. And a massive thank you to Sally and Ilona for talking with such clarity about horse and dog whispering, particularly dogs. And I think you really need to have a look at Sally's website if you are struggling in any way or even would just like to improve things a bit, which is sallybarnes.net. Also, remember to look at the Facebook page, This Much I Know on Facebook, for the latest information and photos. Must remember to take a photo, ladies, before we go. And next week, you'll be able to hear the outside broadcast from Wychford Pottery, won't we, Sam?
Yeah.
Good, excellent. As I shall be at the dress rehearsal for, have I mentioned this before, the Miramar Belly Dance Spectacular, which is on Sunday. So not tomorrow, but a week on Sunday. So go and get your tickets from the Civic Hall. Like to get a last plug in there when I can. We had great fun doing the Wychford Pottery Outside broadcast, and they were brilliant. And I actually had a go at throwing a pot, which may or may not work on radio. But hopefully the fun we have will come across anyway, because they were delightful. Very, very welcoming.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.